The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Chazal tell us, and we say this in the Tfilos of Rosh Hashanah, Tfilo, tshuva, utstoka, ma'aviri nesreya gzera. Tfilo, which is prayer, tshuva, repentance, stoka, charity, ma'aviri nesreya gzera, has the power to turn aside an evil decree, which might be decreed cholilok against the person during the year. Or on Rosh Hashanah. A very great facet of Jewish life is tefillah. This evening, let us spend some time going into some of the concepts and principles of this mitzvah of tefillah, which when one gives thought to it, is really from the great phenomena. The Gemara in Masechta Tainus, right at the beginning of the Masechta, the first Mishnah, states, "Me emosai maskirin gvuris kshomim." When is the time that we start pronouncing in the Tfilo, in the Shemein Esrei, Gvuras Kshomim, Mashi Voruach Hameirid Agoshim, that we praise the Almighty for bring the winds and the rains. And the Mishnah goes into this. Then the Gemara says, Umenolon de Bitfilo, from where do we know that we should praise the Almighty with this in the Tfilo, in the Shemein Esrei? Here, the Gemara brings for us a source to the mitzvah of tefillah. In Sefer Dvorim, Dvorim Yud Aleph, this is in Parshas Ekev, where the Torah writes the second parsha of the Krishma. That if you will listen to the mitzvahs which I have commanded you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve Him with all of your heart and with all of your life. So in this pasuk, the Gemara says, what does it mean to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of your heart? Because lo'avdai, this is from the word eved. Eved means a servant. A servant serves his master with his body. What does it mean, lo'avdai b'chol avavachem, that you shall serve with the heart? Ezehi avedu shehi b'lev. Where do we find a service to serve with one's heart? Evi eimer zu tefillah. From here we learn that there is a mitzvah of tefillah. Uksiv Basrei, and immediately afterwards states, "V'nosati matara tzechem b'ita yireu malkesh," that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that if you will serve me with all of your heart, then I, and all of your life, then I will give to you rains for your land in their proper times. Yosafti digonecha v'sireish kevitzorecho, and you will gather up all of your crops, your wine and your oil. So since immediately afterwards it states, V'nosati matara tzechem b'ito, yireu malkesh, so from here we learn that there's a mitzvah to make mention of the praise of the Almighty, of His reigns, in the tefillah. From this Gemara, we we learn that the mitzvah of tefillah is a mitzvah which has its source in the Torah, and it is called an avoda. It is called serving the Almighty. Rashi brings from the Sifri on this posuk also, Shahatfila kruya avoda. Shenemar, it states in Doniel, Elokoch di an plach li betidira, that I will be oved, I shall serve you all the time. So the Sifri asks, V'chiyesh pulchin bebovil, was there a service, an avoda? Avoda was a word, a terminology which was used for the service of the Beis Hamikdash. The sacrifices. Were there sacrifices in Babel, in Babylonia? This was after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. Ela al shohoya mispalel. Since they would be mispalel, they would daven, they would pray to the Almighty. Therefore, this was called a sacrificial service. Shenemar v'chein bedovid hu aimer tika in tfilosi k'teres lefonecho. And so did King David say, tika in tfilosi, that my prayer should be prepared before you, k'teres lefonecho, as if I am bringing incense to you. There's a further Gemara in Masechet Brachos. And Daf Chof Vav Amud Beis. Itmar Reb Yosi Ber Bechanino Omar, Tfilos Oveis Tikno. Reb Yosi Ber Bechanino says that the Tfilos, the Shemein Esrei that we daven every day, Shachris, Mincha, and Marev, these were established by the Oveis, by Abraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. Reb Yeshua Ben Levi Omer, Tfilos Keneged Tmidim Tikno. Rabbi Shua ben Levi says that the tefillahs were established by the Anshei Knesset HaGdola. These were the great rabbis in the time before the time of the Mishnah, the early time of the Mishnah, and they established them in accordance to the Tamidim, in accordance to the daily sacrifices. Now, even though there's a mitzvah min HaTorah that one should be mispalel, should daven, but the actual text of the tefillahs, these were not given in the Torah. So the Gemara wants to know, where does this come from? So one says that these were established by the Oveis, Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, and the other says, no, the rabbis established these in accordance with the daily sacrifices of the Beis Hamikdash of the Temple. Tanya Kavosei Rabbi Yosi Ber Bechanina, V'Tanya Kavosei Rabbi Shuv Ben Levi. Now we have an Abraisa, we have precedence for both opinions. Tanya Kavosei Rabbi Yosi Ber Bechanina, Avraham tikein tfila shachris. It states explicitly that Avraham established the morning shachris. Shnemar vayashkem Avraham babayke elamokem asherom atshom. When Avraham was debating with the Almighty that he should not destroy Sodom ve'Amora, the next morning it states that Avraham went to that place where he was standing with the Almighty, and it uses the term omeid ve'ein amid el tfila, and this the Gemara proves refers to tfila. So we see that in the morning Avraham went and he davened. Yitzchok tikein tfilas mincha. Yitzchok was the one who established mincha. Shnemar veyetze Yitzchok losuach basode lifnois orev. Yitzchok went into the field to daven as the sun was setting. So we see that Yitzchok daven mincha. Bein sichel tfilo. Yaakov tikein tfilas arvis. Yaakov was the one who first davened marv. Shnemar veyivke bamokem vayolenshom. When Yaakov, incidentally, by Yitzchok, where does this state? When Eliezer went to find a wife for Yitzchok and he returned with Rivka, so it states that Yitzchok was going into the field and he was going to daven mincha. Yaakov, when he was fleeing from his brother Esav and he slept in Beis El, in the place of the Beis Hamikdash, at night he davened, and this was Tfilas Marav. So we see that the Oveis, they were the ones who established the tefillos. Then the Gemara brings Tanya Kavasir Bishua ben Levi. We have explicitly also like the other opinion. Why do we say that tefillah shachris, the morning prayer, the Shmein Esrei in the morning, you can daven only until chatzos, until noon? Because in the Beis Hamikdash there was a korban which was called the Tomid Shel Shachar, which was brought every single morning without exception, and you could bring this sacrifice till noon. Why do we say that Mincha Aro Erev, that you can daven Tfilas Mincha until night? Because there was another sacrifice in the Beis Hamikdash, Tomid Shel Bein Ha'Avayim, which was brought every afternoon, and this was allowed to be brought until nightfall. And why do we say that Tfilas Arev, Tfilas Erev, that Marev, Ein Lei Keva, that could be davened the entire night? Sharei Vorim Uptorim Shalei Nisachlum Erev Kreivim Holchim Kol Alaylo. Because what was not burnt on the Mizbeach, on the altar during the day, was allowed to be burnt on the Mizbeach the entire night. Therefore, Marev can be davened the entire night. And why do we say that Musafim, Kol Ayim, that Tfilas Musaf, on a Reish Chedish or a Shabbos or a Yantif, when Musaf is davened, it can be davened the entire day? Sharei Korban Shel Musafim Korav Kol Ayim, because the Korban Musaf, the sacrifice which came at that time, could be brought the entire day. Then the Gemara asks that according to the opinion that says that they came because of the sacrifices, they were established because of the sacrifices, it's good. But according to the other opinion, what is he going to do with this? So the Gemara answers, La'elam emelok tfilas oves tiknu. He will say that the oves, the forefathers, they were the ones who established the tfilas. But but still, the sages found support for this, and they styled the tefillahs after the sacrifices. And you must say like this, the Gemara says, because otherwise you'll have no source for Musaf. We'll only have a source for the Shachris and the Mincha and the Marav, but not for Musaf. So we have from this Gemara that either the tefillahs that we daven every day were explicitly styled after the sacrifices, or they were established by the Oves, the forefathers, but still they were styled and the pattern was formulated in accordance to the sacrifices, in accordance to the korbanos of the Beis Hamikdash. In the, there's a posuk which we say many times in the tefillah, Unishalmo Porim Sifseseinu, that we will give to the Almighty, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the bullocks of our lips. The words that we give to the Almighty are to be considered as the sacrifices which were brought in the Beis Hamikdash. Now from these sources which we just quoted, what can we learn? We learn that prayer is called avoda, to serve, and it is called avoda shebelev, the service of the heart, and that it has its source in the service of the Beis Hamikdash, the service of the korbanos, the sacrifices. This is what we see from these sources. Let's see if we can somewhat enlighten this subject. This would mean that in order to understand the concept of tefillah, the true concept of tefillah, we would have to understand, firstly, the concept of the Beis Hamikdash and its sacrifices, its korbanos. The Beis Hamikdash, its key point was that of Yireh, to fear the Almighty. States in the Torah, as Mikdoshai Tirou, you shall fear, you shall have great respect for my Beis Hamikdash. And the Gemara brings, the Rambam, Yireh Yisera Nitztavu Al Hamikdash, that we were commanded to have a greater fear and respect from the Beis Hamikdash than all other places. The Gemara says, for example, we're not allowed to go into the Beis Hamikdash if we are not pure. We are not allowed to go into the Beis Hamikdash with the shoes of the dust of our feet. We do not go in with a money belt. And we have fear from the place of the Beis Hamikdash even when the Beis Hamikdash is not there. And it's for this reason also that we approach a Beis HaKnesses, a shul, also with the greatest awe and fear. Because the Gemara tells us that the Beis HaKnesses is the Mikdosh Me'at. Shul is a miniature Beis HaMikdosh. And the entire concept of Beis HaMikdosh, of its name, that it's Kodesh, this means something which is sanctified, something which is above a person. It is beyond him. The word Kedusha means Nivdel, separated from him. So when we go into the Beis HaMikdosh, we are not dealing with something which is close to us, but rather something which is beyond us, above us, greater than us. And we must respect it accordingly. Therefore, as Mikdoshai Tirou, the Almighty said that you shall fear my Beis HaMikdosh. There is another dimension, though, in the Beis HaMikdosh. And that is what is known as Avoda. In the entire Gemara and Shas, the service of the Beis HaMikdosh is always referred to as Avoda. And like we find also in the Mishnah, in Masechta Avos, Al Gimel Dvorim HaOlam Eimed, on three pillars the world stands, Al HaTeira V'Al HaVeda V'Al Gemilas Chasodim. There the Avoda refers to the service of the Beis HaMikdosh. And Avoda means servitude. From the word Eved, a servant. And this has a source explicitly in the Torah, because many times in the Torah, in the Parsha of the Korbonis, it states Lishores. Lishores means to serve. And many halachos are learnt out of that word. In the Gemaras, Zvochim and Menoches, for example, the Gemara says that when the Kohen serves in the Beis HaMikdosh, he must stand Ke'eved Kamei Rabba, like a servant before his master, because it states Lishores, to serve. And the concept of Avoda, to serve, is that of a servant to his master, a servant to his king. And this we have in the Nusach HaTfilah. In the Shemayin Esther we say, Ashivenu Avinu Leseirosecho, Vekorvenu Malkeinu Lavedesecho. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu should return us to Torah, and he should return us to his service. And when we ask the Almighty to return us to Torah, so there we call him Avinu. Ashivenu Avinu Leseirosecho, that our Father should return us to Torah. And when we ask him to return us to serve him, there we ask, Hashiveinu Avinu L'Seirasecha V'Korveinu Malkeinu L'Avedesecha. There we call him Malkeinu, our King. Because when you learn Torah, that can be a relationship of a son to a father. But when you serve the Almighty, that is a relationship of an Eved Lemelech, of a servant to his master, of a servant to his king. So if one would want to understand the concept of the service of the Beis HaMikdash and the sacrifices of the Beis HaMikdash, this means it was based on the great fear and awe and respect of the Almighty's place and the service of a servant to a master. Now there's one further dimension though. In a servant. And this the Maral Miprag tells us in his Nesivat Tfila Reish in the beginning of Paragimel. There's a difference between Yireh and Avdus. There's a difference between fear and between servitude. A person may fear a great power, he may fear a great king, so therefore he has fear from him. But one who serves a king, he is a servant to the king. It's a distinction between fear from the king or a servant to the king. Fear is not sufficient. Many can have fear from the king, but it does not mean they are a servant to the king. The dimension of the Beis HaMikdash was where not only we feared the Almighty, but we became His servants and we served Him. And this is a very important principle in understanding these concepts. To give a little more explanation into what does it mean to be a servant of a king, this means where you belong to him entirely. The Gemara tells us, Eved Gufei Kone, a servant is an acquisition of the ordain of the master. And not only is he an acquisition to the master, but kol ma shekono eved, kono rabbi. Whatever the servant owns is owned by the master. The ownership of the master encompasses the servant completely. Where not only the servant belongs to the master, but everything of the servant also belongs to the master. So this means that a person who is a servant to the master, he serves him. And from the other aspect, it means that the master is entirely responsible for the servant. This means that the servant has no independence whatsoever, but is entirely dependent on the master. And if this is true, then the master is entirely responsible for the servant. And this is what David HaMelech said, which we say in the Halo, Ono Hashem ki ani abdecho. Ani abdecho ben amosecho. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you must help me because I am your servant. If I was not your servant, so then, there is a degree of independence in my own right. But since I am your servant, then I have no independence. I'm entirely dependent on you. And therefore, I have a right to call for your help, or to demand your help. This is the dimension of serving. With these principles, we can learn a lot in the Korbonis and in Tefillah. As we mentioned, the Mishnah in Ovis tells us, Al Gimel Dvorim Ha'elam Emet. The world stands on three things: on Torah, and on Avoda, the service of the Beis Hamikdash, and on Gemilas Chasodim, acts of loving kindness. The rabbis teach us that the pillar of Gemilas Chesed, of acts of loving kindness, this was Avraham Avinu. He was the one who came and brought Chesed to the world. And the pillar of Avoda, this was Yitzchak. And the pillar of Torah, this was Yaakov. Why was Yitzchak the pillar of Avoda? The Gemara tells us, because kiraftoi nafshoi kamoi, you sacrificed yourself to me. When Avraham came to offer Yitzchak as a sacrifice, and Yitzchak was willing to give himself to the Almighty, there he became the foundation for all of the Avedis HaKarbonis in the world. He became the true foundation for all of the sacrifices. And the Medrash says that on the day that Yitzchak offered himself as a sacrifice, HaKadosh Baruch Hu established the sacrifices of the Beis HaMikdash, the Tomid Shel Shachar and Tomid Shel Ben Arbayim. And because he offered himself completely to the Almighty, there was no greater devekus, there was no greater closeness than any of the other Ovis, than Yitzchak. The Gemara tells us that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that he will remember the covenant that he made with Abraham and Yitzchak, and the covenant that he made with Yaakov, by Abraham it's mentioned Zocharti. I will remember Zocharti as Brisi Abraham. Ba'af es Brisi Yitzchak. It's Brisi Yaakov Eskor. And by Yaakov, by Jacob, it's mentioned I will remember. But by Yitzchak it does not say the word I will remember. Zocharti es Brisi Abraham. I will remember the covenant I made with Abraham. Ba'af es Brisi Yitzchak, and also the covenant with Yitzchak. Ves Brisi Yaakov Eskor, and I shall remember the covenant of Yaakov. But it does not mention Zechira, that I will remember the covenant by Yitzchak. There it does not use the word Zechira. The Gemara says why? Because Zechira, you only have to remember something that can be forgotten. Yitzchak cannot be forgotten. Shahare aforai muchan ve'emedes ve'emei tachas kise akovit. Because the dust of Yitzchak is by the Kisei HaKoved, the royal throne of the Almighty. When Yitzchak offered himself to the Almighty refused. He sent the angel to stop Abraham. But as far as he was concerned, Yitzchak gave himself. The will was there. He gave himself completely. The Almighty says that the dust of you is always at the foot of my throne. So therefore it's impossible to forget Yitzchak. And there Hashem doesn't have to say, I will remember the covenant. But by Avraham, there's the possibility of forgetfulness. So therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu took an oath that he will remember. And the same by Yaakov Avinu. And we find that Yitzchak served the Almighty with fear. When Yaakov took an oath, he said, Elokei Avraham, the God of Abraham, upachad Yitzchak, and the fear of Yitzchak, the fear of my father Yitzchak. Yitzchak's approach and his direction in serving the Almighty was that which was motivated by a tremendous fear of the Almighty. Like a person when he sees a great ocean or a great mountain. This was Yitzchak's derech. This was his approach in serving the Almighty. And through this, he became the faithful servant to the Almighty. And through this, he became a complete servant to the Almighty, where he gave himself completely to the king, where he was willing to offer himself physically to the king. And through this, he came so close to the Almighty, where it is impossible that there can ever be a separation. The Almighty says that I cannot forget Yitzchak. He is always with me. And it was from this that the Almighty established the Korbonis in the Beis HaMikdash. So here we have our first Sheirish, our first source of where the korbanos, the sacrifices of the Beis HaMikdash, drew their strength from. And this is a giving over of oneself to the king. Now, how is this transposed in the korbanos, in the sacrifices? If a person comes and he gives an animal, or he gives a meal offering to the Almighty, how does this become a dimension where he's giving himself to the Almighty? And this, the Maral writes, the halacha is, the law is by a sacrifice, that what you give must be yours. It must be your animal. It must be your meal offering. And it must be given on your name, L'shem Baili. Must be sacrificed for you. So it's not where a person is giving himself, but where he's giving his possessions. He's giving his money. And when a person gives his possessions, his money to the Almighty, this is also a dimension of giving oneself. Because the money of a person, besides that he owns it, this is what sustains his nefesh, this is what sustains him. And when he takes that and gives that to the Almighty, this is the dimension of giving oneself. And we have in Vayikra, right at the beginning of the parsha of the Korbanos, in Vayikra Beis Posuk Aleph, it states, V'nefesh ki sakriv korban mincha l'Hashem. Nefesh. Nefesh here refers to a person. But the actual literal meaning of a nefesh is a life. A person or a life that will bring a meal offering to Hashem. So Rashi brings from the Chazal, Le'nema nefesh b'chol korbanos nedova ela b'mincha. We do not find this terminology, nefesh, a life, except here by the meal offering. Mi darkel is nadev mincha. Who is accustomed to bring a meal offering? An oni, a poor man. Because a wealthy man, you bring a bull. Or someone who's not so wealthy, He'll bring a sheep or a goat. Who brings a meal offering? A poor man. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty says, Ma la'ani olav ki lo hikriv nafshei. When a poor man brings a meal offering, I consider not that he's giving me the meal, he's giving me his own life. Because money to a poor man is a much greater value than it is to a wealthy person. It represents more life to a poor man than it does to a wealthy person. And the Gemara tells us, Hagezel pruta min ha'oni ki ilu gezel es nafsha. Someone who steals a pruta, a small amount of money from a poor man, is as if he has stolen his life. Money is the mizonos, is the sustenance of man. And if a person takes this, and with it he buys a sacrifice, and with it he gives it to the Almighty, and he's giving it directly to the Almighty, like it states in the Torah, Elohu ishei reach nicheach l'Hashem, it goes up and with pleasantness to the Almighty. So he is giving a chelek, he is giving a part of himself to the Almighty. And this is the direction of the korban. And this is what the word korban means. Korban comes from the word korov. He's karvus. That through giving this to the Almighty, he is miskarev atzmai. He brings himself close to the Almighty. This is the principle of the korban. If this is the principle in korban, and like we brought from sources before, that tefillah has its source in korban, then this must be the principle in tefillah also. Tefillah also is where the person gives of himself to the Almighty. But not where he gives his old body to the Almighty like Yitzchok did. But not where he gives from his money to the Almighty. But where he gives from his heart to the Almighty. And this is why the tefillah is called avoda. It's a service, it's a servitude. A servant belongs to the king. But it is called avedah shebalev, a service of the heart, where he gives from his heart to the Almighty. Now, in summary of what we said, this would mean that the mitzvah of tefillah demands the following. Firstly, it demands that when a person is mispalel, when he prays to the Almighty, it demands that he stands before the Almighty as an eved kamei rabbi, as a servant before his master, and that he is in a position similar to that of Yitzchok Avinu. Secondly, it demands that through this tefillah there is a joining and a coming close of the Eved to the Odom, just like we find by Yitzchok, and like we find in the korbonos, in the sacrifices. Thirdly, it demands, ul'avdei b'chol levavchem, that he must serve with all of his heart. It's not sufficient where he merely speaks. It's not sufficient where he merely utters words. But where he must serve the Almighty with all of his heart. Me'imke halev, from the depth of his heart. and he must give of his heart to the king. And this we find in many places. In the Sefer Tehillim, written by David HaMelech, where David HaMelech was known to be one of our greatest teachers when it came to tefillah. In Kapitel Kuf Beis, and this is a pasuk that the Gemara brings in Brachos, Tefillah la'oni ki yatev, the prayer of the oni, of the poor. The Rashi says this goes on Klal Yisrael, because Klal Yisrael is known as the Am Oni, the poorer nation. Ki yatov, when it has a garment of tzoris over itself. V'lifnei Hashem yishpeich sichay, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I will pour out my speech to you. Hashem shima sfilosi v'shavosi elecho tovei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should listen to my prayer and my cry shall go out before you, shall come before you. Or in Kapitel Kuf Lamed, David HaMelech said, Shira malais mimama akim krosicha Hashem, from the depths I call out to you. This is the way a tefillah must be. And another principle that the mitzvah of tefillah demands from us is that just like through the korbonos, this brought the one who was bringing the korban close to the Almighty, and this is why it was called korban. So the same, it must bring the one who's mispalel, the one who's praying, it must bring him close to the Almighty. This is what is meant that tefillah is avedah shebelev. There is a further dimension yet in tefillah. And this is what we find in the entire parsha of the korbanos, of the sacrifices. The name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is used is the Shem HaMayuchad, the Yud Kei Vov Kei, the special name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is the most explicit name that we have in the Torah. And this is used throughout the entire parsha of the korbanos. And what is the reason for this? And there's a very wonderful reason for this, a very deep reason, explained in the Siva Aveda. Through the sacrifices of the Beis HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu became one, and he became known to the world. Why? Because the nations of the world, they sacrifice and they serve in many different directions. They serve the sun and they serve the moon. They serve fire, they serve water, and they serve idols, and they serve gold. Many do not serve anything. They're atheists. So from the nations of the world came out a great darkness and confusion. From the Beis HaMikdash, Klal Yisrael served in one way. They served only the one God. And they served only from one place. Nesra Abomais, once the Beis HaMikdash was established in Yerushalayim, no longer were we allowed to serve from any other place. And in the Beis HaMikdash, all of Israel would come. without exception. And all of Israel would bring their sacrifices only there. And there was one Mizbeach, one altar, one Kohen Gadol, one high priest. And there they served one God. So this was a manifestation and this was a declaration that there is one God in the world. This was a declaration to ourselves that there is one God in the world. And this was a declaration to the world. So through this, the Almighty's name became known. And this is contrary to the nature, to the physical nature of this world, where the Almighty's name is concealed and hidden because of all of the confusion and darkness. The Gemara tells us in Psachim that Lekishani Michtov Ani Nikro. My name is not read the way it is written. It is written explicitly, but it is not read that way. Theism in this world. And this, the sages tell us, this is the Shadish of Amalek. This comes from Amalek, the son of Esav. He was the great atheist. Though, and from him comes the power to deny the Almighty. And this is why it states in the Torah, the Almighty says, Yad al kes kor, that as long as Amalek is in the world, Ein kisi shalom ve ein shmi shalom, my throne is not complete and my name is not complete. V'hoye bayom ahu, yi Hashem echod v'shmei echod. On that day, the day when the Mashiach will come, the next world, then my name will be one, and I will be one. But in this world, I'm not known to be one. And this is a reality. As much as the nations of the world speak about morality, and they speak about ethics, and they speak about God, and they speak about religion, the reality is, we gave a shira not long ago on this, that the huge majority of the world today are idolaters. We haven't time to go into this in detail now. We went into a detail a few weeks ago. But this is something which is very evident in our times. It's been evident all of the time. And one should not be misled to think otherwise. And we see it right today, where an entire world can stand up with the great power of darkness and the great power of lies, stand up against the small nation of Israel. And the Gemara tells us something very interesting. Why do the Goyim, why do the nations stand up against Israel? What do they have against Israel? So the Almighty says, they don't have anything against Israel. They are Seinei Hashem, they hate me. And as long as Israel is in the world, this is the testimony that I am in the world. And this is why the Chazal say that whoever stands up against Israel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that's my enemy, because they're really standing up against me. They stand up against Israel because Israel declares and proclaims the name of Hashem. And this they cannot accept. So all the talk about morality and ethics and religion and so forth, this is talk. No more than that. And therefore, contrary to popular belief, we feel many times that the name of the Almighty would be known in the world. The Jew helps it a bit. Not true. The name of the Almighty would not be known at all if it was not for the Jew. It was Avraham that said that before I taught the people, it was Elokei HaShamayim, he was known as the God of the heavens. He was not on this earth. Today he is the Elokei HaShamayim v'Elokei HaOretz. Today he is the God of the heavens and the God of the earth, because I have taught the people who he is. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that Ki yodati v'leman asher yitzav es bono v'beis ha'achrav. Avraham will teach his children afterwards this. Don't make any mistakes. If not for Yisrael, the name would be forgotten. So this is not fiction when our Chazal tell us that when all of Israel would come to one Beis HaMikdash, all come to Yerushalayim, to Har HaBayis, and they would all sacrifice to one God. And with one Kohen Gadol, this became a world proclamation that Hashem Hu Elokim. Because lulei zeis, without this, you would have the sheker and the deceit and the darkness, which you can imagine what would be, because take a true look at the world even with this, even with Klal Yisrael. So you can imagine what it would be without Klal Yisrael. And we don't have to go into further detail. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, in this world, because of the great source of kfira, of denial and atheism, you have where in many countries they want to make evolution a compulsory subject in science. In this world, because of such a source of fear of denial, my name is not recognized. But it was through the sacrifices of the Beis HaMikdash, it became more recognized than otherwise it would have. Therefore, Hashem used his most explicit name that we have in the Torah, in the Parsha Akrobonis, by the sacrifices. And this is also a reason why we are commanded first, when we come back to Eretz Yisrael and it's time to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, first says we are commanded to Timche Zecher Amolek, that we must eradicate the name of Amolek. Ma'achakach Beines HaMikdash. Afterwards, build the Beis HaMikdash. Because how can there be a Beis HaMikdash as long as Amalek is in the world? Now, if this is the source, if this is a principle in the sacrifices, and the tefillah is an outgrowth of the sacrifices, then this also must be a principle in the tefillah. And how is that so? The answer to that is, when one stops to think, he realizes the great level that the Jew is on when he davens. A Jew has tzoras, he has problems. So he goes into shul and he davens. A Jew needs health. Nefesh, he needs life. He needs bonai, he needs children. He needs mezeinah, he needs sustenance. So he goes and he davens. What's he davening for? How's that going to help? In the tefillos that we say, and in what seemingly seems to be simple tefillos, lie the greatest principles of faith that there are in the world. The fact that the Jew goes and he sheifech esicha, he pours out his heart to the Almighty. He relies on the Almighty and he expects an answer from the Almighty. He is declaring to himself and to others and to the world that he is an Eved LaHashem. He's a servant to the Almighty. Hashem Hu Echod. Hashem Elohim. And the Almighty is the master of the world. And he gives life to the world. And he sustains the world. And he gives happiness to the world. And he gives bracha to the world. A 13-year-old boy who davens knows more than the great philosophers of Aristotle and his colleagues. Because Aristotle and his colleagues were unable to come to the conclusion, the definite conclusion, that the Almighty is the God and he is the one who answers prayers and he is the one who gives life. Yet the simple Jew knows this. And this is a display of this emunah. I once heard from one of the Telzer Rosh Yeshivas, Reb Oreg Sorotzkin, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, that he was in Eretz Yisrael during the 1954 war, 56 war. And when they were in the shelters, so one Jew said to other Jews, he says, Yin kum lome zogen tfilin mekenish falosen sein af nisim. Come, we must say tilim, we can't depend on miracles. This is the Jewish attitude. Depend on miracles, we have to say tilim. To the Jew, the tehillim is not miracles. This is how clear it is to the Jew that terem yikro ani eshmo, that as soon as the Jew will call out to the Almighty, he will answer. This is greater philosophy than the philosophy of Aristotle and his colleagues. And this is the Gilui Hashem. This is revealing the Shem Hashem, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just as the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu became revealed through the sacrifices, so does the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu become revealed through the tefillah. And a Jew who is davening reaches upward into the greatest depths, into the most concealed depths of the achdus, of the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it is concealed because this world conceals it. This world is called Olam. From the word Halomo, conceals the Shem Hashem, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and his hand. From here we can understand a bit why HaChazal have called Tfilah that tefillah is an aveda which reaches into the greatest heights of the world, and why also our Chazal tell us that kavonas hatfilah, to have intent and to have heart in tefillah, is very, very difficult, because the Jew is reaching to the Almighty. And he's reaching to the Almighty in such an explicit manner where he expects to talk to the Almighty and be answered. And therefore, it's from the most difficult avodas, but it's from the greatest avodas that was given to Klal Yisrael. In accordance to what we've said, many things can be clarified. One is that the Chazal tell us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu misavel et filosin shel tzadikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu waits and desires the tfilos of the tzadikim. Why? The answer now is very clear. Because when one davens to the Hashem, he is serving Hashem. He is giving of himself to Hashem. And he's uplifting himself and bringing himself close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires. He is proclaiming his name and bringing out the oneness of his name. And this HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires. There's another medrash. But the medrash says, this is a medrash in Sefer Bereishis. Lama hoyu hoimos akores. Why do we find that the matriarchs were barren? We see Sarah was an akores, she was barren. Rivka was an akores. Rachel was barren. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Kulam Noos, Kulam Ashirais, they were all very beautiful, they were all very wealthy. If they will have children also, so what will they need from me? So therefore he made them barren in order that they should have to come and be mispalo to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now what does this mean? Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu just give them children and they won't have to be mispal? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the tefillos of the tzaddikim. He wants their prayers. Why? It's not that he's interested in the prayer. He's interested in the eved. He's interested in the servant. He wants Klal Yisrael to serve, to become his servant, and to proclaim his name. And if a person has everything, so what will he need from the Almighty? He'll need nothing. If he'll need nothing, so what does he have to ask from him? Then he's independent. If he's independent, he's not a servant of his. The principle of a servant is someone who's dependent entirely on the master. Ono Hashem ki ani avdecho, David HaMelech said, that you must help me because I am your servant and I am entirely dependent on you. So therefore the Almighty said, they're all beautiful, they're all wealthy, the obvious were all wealthy, so what will they need me for if they have children too? Therefore he made them barren in order that they won't have. If they won't have, they'd have to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he answered their prayers and he gave them children. Another thing can be answered from this. They ask the question that a Jew is not supposed to serve the Almighty al manas lekabel pras, on condition to receive reward. It's a mishnah novice. Al tia ke'avodim hamisham shines harav al manas lekabel pras. You shouldn't be like servants that serves a master in order to receive a reward, but you should serve him without this intent. Tefillah is only a service for reward. We come and we shale tzrocheinu. We come and we ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu what we need. Tefillah is different because that's the whole essence of tefillah. The whole essence of tefillah is in order that a person should come and ask for his needs from the Almighty. Because if he has to ask for his needs, this means he's dependent on the Almighty. He's a servant. If he does not have to ask from him, then he's independent. And then he doesn't need him. He's not a servant. So therefore, tefillah is an exception to this rule. And there's a very good reason why. Now there's a further depth in tefillah, which is an extension of what we are saying. And this is something which is a very great phenomena, which we find at the beginning of Sefer Bereishis. In the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, states This is in Bereshis Beis Pasukei. V'chol siyach hasodeh terem yeh v'oretz v'chol esem hasodeh terem yitzmoch. When the Almighty created the world, everything was ready. He brought trees, he brought grass, vegetation, and everything was ready. But it was not growing yet. Why wasn't it growing? Ki lehim ter Hashem elokim al oretz. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not bring the rain yet. So everything was here, the grass and the vegetation and the trees, the plants, but it was not growing because he did not bring the rain. Why didn't he bring the rain? Because there was no man to work the land. So Rashi tells us that on the third day of Begimel, Shekosev Ateitzi Leyotzel Al Pesach HaKarko, Omdu Ad Yimbov. On the third day, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, let the land bring out all the vegetation. It did not grow though. It came right to the opening of the land, waiting for the rains. And the Omdu Ad Yimbov, and it stayed like that until the sixth day, when man was created, and then the Almighty brought the rains. Now, why didn't the Almighty bring the rains when he said for the land to bring forth vegetation? On the third day, the land should bring forth vegetation. Right there, the Almighty should have brought rains in order that everything could grow. Why did he wait till the sixth day, till he created man? So Rashi tells us, because since there was no man, there was no one to realize the goodness of the rains. Now when man was created, then he realized what rains mean and what lack of rain means. So therefore he prayed to the Almighty. And then the Almighty gave the rains. And then the vegetation grew. So we see that the Almighty held back the rains until there was a man who would realize what a world is without rain and what the world is with rain, and therefore be mispalel to Hashem, and therefore he would give the rains. From here we see a very great principle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to a person only when he recognizes where it's coming from. Had HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought rains on the third day, everything would have grown. Everything would have grown, but who would have recognized where the rain is coming from? Where the broch is coming from? There was no man to recognize this. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu withheld the rains until man was created. Now man saw what was needed. He could recognize what was needed and where it came from. And therefore he was mispalel, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it. It's a very great principle. This is a principle that's brought in the Gemara Masechta Shabbos. The Gemara says, Anesin matona lechaveirei mitzvah lahidiyoi. That when you give a gift to a friend, you must tell him that you're giving it to him. If you're giving charity to the poor, then it's a mitzvah not to tell them. Because the main thing is that they should have the sustenance. But if you're giving a gift to a friend, you're not giving him the gift necessarily because he won't live without it. You're giving him the gift because you want to show friendship and warmth. Therefore, it's a mitzvah lahidiyah. It's a mitzvah to let him know you're giving it to him. Well, if you give it to him and you don't tell him you gave it to him, so then you have defeated the purpose. Same thing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give brocha to the person. But the reason why he wants to give brocha to the person, because he wants the person to know where the brocha is coming from. So if the person will be mispalel to him and know where it's going to come from, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give it to him. But if a person will not be, and he will not realize where it comes from, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not give it. And this is why he did not bring rains to the world before there was an order, before there was a man. Now from here we see that a person who brings himself to the level of tefillah, he is bringing himself close to the Almighty. And he is recognizing the source of bracha, and he is close to the Almighty where he can receive the bracha. Therefore, the tefillah is effective. He's close to the Almighty, he can receive bracha from him. And he recognizes it where it's from, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu therefore gives it. But a person who does not mispalel, does not pray to the Almighty. So he's very far from him then. He never becomes a servant to him. He's very remote. So firstly, he's so remote that he cannot receive bracha from him. He's too far away. Or the bracha is very diluted when it comes to him. Secondly, even if bracha would come to him, he would not know where it comes from. Like many people you see many times. All of a sudden someone will be striking rich and he will not think it's coming from the Almighty. And therefore the Almighty will not give it to him. Because the purpose of this gift is to know who gave it, where it came from. And the one who is close to the Almighty and is inspired to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he will have light from him. The one who's far, he will be left in a world of darkness where his name is not revealed. Another very important point that we must realize, and that is, this gift of tefillah is something which is set aside for Klal Yisrael. As it states in Mishlei Chof Vov, Zevach Rishoyim Te'evo U'tfilas Yeshorim Ritzenei, that the sacrifice of a Rosh, of a wicked man, Kodesh Baruch Hu rejects. He doesn't need it, he doesn't want it. Tfilas Yeshorim Ritzenei, the tefillah of the Yeshorim, of the upright, this the Almighty wants. So we see the Almighty wants the tefillahs of the upright. And the Yeshorim, this refers to Klal Yisrael. And we have a posuk in Dvorim Dalet, posuk Zayin. Ki mi goy gadol asher le elokim krevim elov, kashem elokeinu bechol koreinu elov. Who is such a great nation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close to them all of the time? Like Hashem elokeinu, that when we call to him, he answers. So we see that by Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I am close to you at all time, and when you call, I will answer. The Gemara Masechta Yuma and the Rambam brings in Hilchas Tshuva that during the entire year a person will be mispalel, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu might not be so close. During Aseret Yemei Tshuva, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, there HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close to the person and his tefillahs will be answered. That's an individual. But when a tzibur, when a minyan davens, there HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close all the time. As it states in this pasuk, Moshe Rabbeinu said, did you ever see such a great nation where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close all of the time? Whenever you call to him, he is there. Tefillah, this level of tefillah was given in particular to Klal Yisrael. And it's mentioned Yeshorim, that it must be Yeshorim. A person must place himself on a good level when he davens. The Gemara says, this is a Gemara Masechet Shabbos, and Daf Yud. The Gemara brings that they were learning, and it was getting a little late to daven. they were learning. Rabbi Yirmiyahu was learning before Rabbi Zeira, and it was getting a little late to daven. The time was coming to daven, and Rabbi Yirmiyahu hurried away from the learning. So Rabbi Zeira said, "Meser oznei mishmaya teira gam tfilose te'eva." Someone who closes his ears to Torah, his tefillah also is a te'eva, is an abomination. This is what he told Rabbi Yirmiyahu. So don't rush away so quickly from the learning. A person must be on a level when he doubts. He must be a yoshur, upright. If he davens from Torah, this is even greater. And then his tefillah is effective. For example, the Gemara brings an Erevin, tefillah shikur te'eva. If a person davens when he's drunk, this is an abomination. And the Maral explains. Because if a person is drunk, so he has lost his power of seichel, he has lost his intellect, and he's completely physical. And how can he come to be an eved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in such a state? And since the direction of tefillah is where a person rises to become an eved to Hashem, then it must be the tefillah of a Yisrael, of a Yoshur, of an upright person. He must prepare himself for tefillah, and if possible, with Torah. I'd like to conclude with one final principle that we can learn in tefillah. And this the Gemara brings in Brachas Daf Lamed Aleph, Omer Aleph. By Chana, Chana had no children. And she went to the Mishkan, to the sanctuary, and she was very, very upset, and she was very depressed that she had no children. And there she was mispalel to Hashem that if he would give her a child, then this child she would set aside for him forever, for Hashem forever. And subsequently she had the son Shmuel, who became Shmuel Hanovi. So she went into the Mishkan, v'hi moras nofesh, she was very bitter, v'tispalel al Hashem uvochei sivke. And she prayed to Hashem and she wept. Vatido neder, and she made this vow. And she said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should see the suffering of your maidservant. And when she was been praying to Hashem, the Eli was there, Shem Espiho. He heard her. Vechana hi medaberes alibo. And Chana was speaking to herself. She was not speaking out loud. But her lips were moving. And her voice could not be heard. And Eli thought that she was drunk. So he came and he said, "Ad Mosai Tishtakorin. For how long will you drink? Stop drinking wine." And Chana said, "No, I'm not drinking. But Ashpeches Nafshi Lifnei Hashem. I am pouring out my soul to Hashem." The Gemara says from here, Omer Rav Amnuna, Kama Hilchasa Givyoto, Ikol Mishma Mehani Kroy. There are many great halachas, many great laws that we can learn from this. But the fact that it says midaberes al libo, that she was speaking to herself, mikan lispal sorek shi chaven libo, from the fact that it says that she was medaberes al libo, she was speaking with her heart. From here we see that when someone davens, he must daven with heart. Raks fosehon naos, her lips were moving. From here we see that a person must pronounce the words when he davens. We're referring specifically to the Shemayne Esrei. A person must pronounce the words. Bekeilo le'yishomeya. And from the fact that her voice could not be heard, mikan she'oselak bi'akeilo b'sfilosei. From here we see that a person is not supposed to daven out loud. Now from the fact that a person is supposed to daven with heart, this we explained, it's averi shebelev. Why must a person pronounce the words? So in this the reason is given, because the tefillah is the uplifting of the person to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where he brings himself close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we need the complete person. And the complete person is only with dibur, only with speech. And this we've gone into at length times before. When man was created and when he was given a soul, he became the Ruach Memalo, the Chaya Medaber, he became the speaker. And the complete perfection of man is through speech. And therefore, he must pronounce and enunciate the words. This is man in his perfection. And in this way, he's serving the Almighty. So he must serve him in this manner. But at the same time, this does not have to be out loud. But he must pronounce the words. Like her lips, like we see her lips were moving. And why shouldn't he lift his voice while he davens? So the Gemara says that if a person lifts his voice while he davens, hareze mikatne amuna. This is referring to the Shemayne Esrei. It's not referring when you sing the Shiras, but when you daven Shemayne Esrei. It's mikatne amuna. The Gemara says this is a sign that the person is not a great believer. So the simple reason is because he feels that the Almighty won't hear him unless he shouts at him. See? So he's not such a great believer. But there's a deeper reason. There's a deeper reason. And this goes into a very great depth. As we mentioned before, the Madrega of Tfilah, the level of Tfilah, is very, very deep. Because even though we take it for granted, we are reaching out to the Almighty. We are asking the Almighty to fulfill all of our needs. And we are speaking to Him in a world where He is completely concealed. We are rising to greater heights in emunah and in belief than the greatest philosophers. And we are rising above all the darkness of the world. And that level is a level which is concealed in this world, as we mentioned before. Therefore, a person also must serve him in such a manner which is also concealed, in a quiet, concealed manner. That is not a level that's brought openly into this world. Because the Gemara tells us that the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the next world will be open. In this world, it's not explicit. Klal Yisrael brings it into this world. But we see, even with them bringing it into the world, we see how concealed it is. And since a person reaches and attempts to reach for this level, and this is something which is not revealed but concealed, this must be the manner in which he speaks to the Almighty also. Therefore, you must pronounce the words. This is man in his entire perfection. But at the same time, v'keila le'yishama, yishamea, her voice was not heard. She was speaking, but only where she herself could hear. And this is what the Gemara says. That when a person davens, he should pronounce the words sufficiently where he can hear, but not where others can. And these halachas we learn from Chana, the Gemara says. And from there came Shmuel Hanovi. Her prayer was answered. These are some of the principles in this great mitzvah, in great avodah of tefillah. and which plays such a central part in the Aseres Yemei Tshuva and Yom HaKippurim. Be'ezus Hashem, we should all be sealed for a good year, a year of L'chaim Tovim. And this is a time when the tefillahs of Klal Yisrael are being waited for by the Almighty. And in Be'ezus Hashem, our tefillahs should be heard in this great Eis Tzora of Klal Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should answer all of the tefillahs of Yisrael for Chaim and Brocha.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.